When they entered the audience hall at the palace, Alice Packer summoned Saffron with a peremptory wave of her fan. "Will you forgive me, please, Ryder?"
"Off you go and do your duty." Ryder watched her cross the room, as did almost everybody else.
It was not only the yellow dress that was so striking. Youth has beauty inherent in its very nature. He realized he was staring and looked away quickly, hoping no one had noticed. The rest of the company was made up of a number of Abyssinian princes and princesses, for the Emperor and the other members of the House of Memelik were prolific breeders. There were also generals and bishops, prosperous merchants and landowners, the entire corps of foreign diplomats, with a few foreign travellers and adventurers. The uniforms and costumes were so exotic and colourful that Saffron's dress seemed restrained and understated by comparison. Suddenly, Ryder became aware that somebody in the throng was watching him. He looked about quickly, then started with surprise. The person who had purchased the intrepid ibis from him was standing at the far corner of the room. But even at that range, her Egyptian eyes above the veil had an hypnotic quality that could not be ignored. As soon as she had his attention, she resumed her conversation with the elderly general beside her, who was resplendent in an array of medals, jewelled orders, and a cloak of leopard skins.
"Peace and blessing of Allah be upon you, Sit Bakita al-Masur," Ryder greeted her in Arabic as he came to her side.
"And upon you in equal measure, Effendi,"
she made a graceful gesture in reply, touching her lips, then her heart with her fingertips.
"You are a long way from home," he remarked.
Her eyes slanted upwards at the outer corners, and her dark gaze was direct, unusual in an Egyptian lady even of the highest rank, yet also mysterious. Some men would find her irresistible, but she was not to Ryder's taste. "I came by the river. In my fine new steamer it was not such a long journey from the first cataract." Her voice was soft and musical.
"You encountered no let or hindrance along the way, I hope. These are troubled times, and the ibis is well known."
"She is the ibis no longer, but the Durkan Summer, the wisdom of the skies. Her appearance is much altered. No one would recognize her for what she once was. My boatbuilders at Aswan have lavished much attention on her. I paid my dues to the men of God in Omdurman when I passed that pestilential, if holy, city."
"Where is she moored now?" Ryder demanded eagerly. Bakita looked at him quizzically.
"She is at Rosiris."
That was the small port at the uppermost limit of the navigation on the Blue Nile. It was still within the Sudan, but less than 50 miles from the Abyssinian border.
Ryder was pleased. "Is Jock McCrump still the engineer?" he asked.
Bakita smiled.
"He is captain also. I think it would be difficult to dislodge him from his berth."
Ryder was even better pleased. Jock would be a useful man to have aboard if they were to use the steamer in any rescue attempt.
"You seem interested in your old steamer, Effendi. Do I imagine it, or is it indeed so?"
Immediately Ryder was wary.
He knew little about this woman, except that she was wealthy and had influence in high places in many countries. He had heard it said that even though she was a Muslim, she was favourably inclined towards British interests in the Orient and opposed to those of France and Germany. It was even rumoured that she was an agent of Sir Evelyn Baring in Cairo. If this was true, she would not support the Dervish jihad in Omdurman, but it was best not to trust her.
"Indeed, Sit Bakita, I did have some idea of chartering the steamer from you for a short period, but I'm not sure that you would be agreeable to the proposition," he said.
She dropped her voice when she spoke next.
"General Ras Mengeti speaks only Amharic. Nevertheless, we should continue this conversation in private. I know the whereabouts of your compound. May I call upon you there? Say, tomorrow, an hour before noon?"
"I will be at your disposal."
"I will have matters of mutual interest to relate to you," she promised.
Ryder bowed and moved away.
Saffron was still with Alice, but the moment Ryder was free, she came across to join him. "Who was that fat Arab lady?" she asked tartly. "She was making huge cow eyes at you."
"She may be useful to us in uniting us with friends and family." Saffron considered this, then nodded.
In that case, I forgive her.
Ryder was uncertain as to how Bakita had transgressed, but before he made the mistake of pursuing the subject, a flourish of trumpets announced the entrance of the Emperor and his wife.